Well, as we conclude this study of the first and second commandments in our Ten Commandments series, today I just want to take a very serious look at what I call the most dangerous idol of all. This is a particularly deceptive idol. In the adult Sunday school class this morning that Wes was leading in 2 Peter chapter 2, talking about the deceptive heresies of false teachers. And one of the hallmarks of a deceptive heresy is they're deceptive. And people don't know they're falling for it until it's way too late. The same thing with this particular idol, the most dangerous one of all. Allegiance to this idol is absolutely a worldwide phenomena, predominant in the Christian world as well as the non-Christian world. Even if one believes in this idol and trusts it with their salvation, they will still be condemned and suffer an eternity away from the presence of God. This idol is so popular in America today that millions and millions of people will gather to sing its praises every weekend. Hundreds of millions of people around the world recognize this idol. They pay homage to this idol, and they serve this idol with all of their heart and all of their soul. And it's a deceptive one. And it's a dangerous one, because our eternal destiny is in the balance here. And I believe the most dangerous idol of all is the idol named Jesus. The idol named Jesus. Now, before you start thinking about who's going to be on the next search committee, let me explain, hopefully clearly, what I mean by this. And you'll see it, I promise. Remember, when we talked about idolatry, we talked about that idolatry is making a god to suit yourself. A god to support your own beliefs and your own desires in this world. It's that, making a god to suit yourself, on the one hand. On the other hand, it is making God into something that He is not. Remember, in the second commandment, we were looking at all of these different idols that people were making, little carved images, and I threw up a bunch of pictures of them up on the screen, and they were saying, "This is our God." So it's taking God, making Him something that He is not, and then worshiping that. We kind of got that here in this reading in John chapter 8, where Jesus is saying to the religious leaders, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who answers me, of whom you say He is your God." And that's, of course, what all the Jews would have said, and especially the leaders. In verse 55, you don't even know Him. Can you imagine? This is the God that you think you follow and serve. You don't even know Him. You don't even know who He is. So, an idolatry, then, is making a god to suit yourself, or making God into something that He is not. That's the graven image. And it's also true that making the true Jesus of the Bible into something that He is not, or making a Jesus whose teaching matches what we personally want to believe, is an idol. And we give that idol the name Jesus. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible. That idol, even though it has the name given to it, of Jesus, is not God the Son, because remember we talked about the true God is the God who is the God of revelation and redemption, right? Jesus, God the Son, is the God of revelation. He revealed Himself, and redemption. He shed His blood to buy us back and to redeem us. If we have a different Jesus, who's not the Jesus of the Scripture, of the Bible, that we believe what He says, we don't know Him. We have a different Jesus. We have an idol that we've given the name Jesus, and we're serving that idol instead of the real Jesus. And let me give you some examples of this that we have, and kind of talked about it in the adult Sunday school this morning. In the Christian Science religion, Jesus is a human man and a divine idea. His resurrection is a spiritual thought, not a reality. That Jesus is an idol. It did not reveal itself, and it cannot redeem you. Spiritualism. Jesus is a medium spirit of a higher order. That Jesus is an idol. It didn't reveal itself, and it cannot redeem a person. I've got a couple of these. Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus is the first creation of God. Actually, he's Michael the Archangel, the only begotten Son of God, now Jesus Christ. That Jesus is an idol, didn't reveal itself, and cannot redeem anybody. Sounds pretty good. Pretty deceptive. You've got to be on the ball when you're talking to that Jehovah's Witness knocking on your door. Armstrongism. Before Jesus was conceived by Mary, he was not the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born a Son of God by the resurrection. That's an idol, did not reveal itself, and cannot redeem. Mormonism. Jesus is among the spirit children of Elohim, who became as a God through obedience and devotion. That is an idol that did not reveal himself or itself, and it cannot redeem. And yet, a lot of people worship. Eastern mysticism, the Baha'i, Divine Light, Krishna, TM, Vedanta, Ramakrishna, Yoga, Zen, Buddhism. Jesus is considered to be one of a long line of masters who had themselves realized divinity. That Jesus is an idol who hasn't revealed itself, and it cannot redeem anybody. The Way International, Jesus was the Son of God, but not God the Son. That Jesus is an idol. It did not reveal himself and cannot redeem anybody. Unity. This Jesus or perfect man idea, existing eternally in the divine mind, is the true spiritual higher self of every individual. Don't ask me to explain that. That Jesus is an idol. It didn't reveal itself, and it cannot redeem anybody. Unification Church. As a man, Jesus was no different from us, except for the fact that he was without original sin. He attained the purpose of creation. In light of his attained deity, he may well be called God. Nevertheless, he can by no means be called God himself. That Jesus... yeah, what? That Jesus is an idol. It did not redeem anybody and did not reveal himself at all. I'll just give you one more. In Islam, the person of Jesus and his message are inferior and replaced totally by Muhammad and the Quran. That Jesus is an idol, did not reveal himself, and cannot redeem anybody. Okay? So we see just by those 10 systems that there are a lot of Jesuses out there that is not the Jesus in the book. Any Jesus that is not the Jesus of Scripture is an idol. Didn't reveal himself and cannot redeem us. Because we know, according to Scripture, for a person to be genuinely saved from their sins and from their transgressions, the Bible teaches that a person must trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, trusting in His shed blood alone for their salvation. So we trust in who Jesus is, God the Son. We trust in what He did. What did He do? He died on the cross for us in our place as our substitute, shedding His atoning blood for us to pay our penalty for our sin so that I don't have to go to hell. That's a good thing, right? That's the Jesus of Scripture. A Jesus that we believe in that isn't that is an idol that we have created to suit ourselves, to serve, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. So the question for all of us, the most important question is, in which Jesus do you believe? And I originally had this in the common conversational vernacular to make it a little more understandable. what Jesus do you believe in? And what Jesus do you believe? That's where it gets into our hearts as Christians. What Jesus am I following? What Jesus do I believe in? Because each of those previous religious systems that I just threw up there on the screen, they rejected what the Bible says about Jesus. They rejected what Jesus said, especially about spiritual things, and what he said about himself. He taught and he demonstrated who he is, that he is God the Son. The Father himself testified about Jesus, not only at his baptism, but on the Mountain of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Do what he says, in whom I am well pleased. To reject the true teaching about Jesus from Scripture, to not believe it, I just don't know if I believe it. Or to reject what Jesus says is to reject the true Jesus of the Bible. Then we have an idol. And we gave it the name Jesus. The one who says they believe in Jesus, yet rejects who he is and rejects what he said, has made an idol. And given it the name Jesus. And this is where it's time for some very hard spiritual work that we all need to do one-on-one with the Lord, working this salvation out. We have to work at this and come to the conclusion, okay, is the Jesus that I say I believe in, is he the Jesus in the book? Do I believe? Do I take every word that's in the book and do I believe it? If I refuse, then, okay, that's the indication that something is wrong. This idol that we call Jesus, it's not the Jesus of the book because we don't believe in who Jesus is and we don't believe in what he says. That is an idol that can't save us. Because it didn't reveal itself. It cannot redeem us. We sang a couple of songs this morning. Why did we sing an Easter song? Why did we sing Worship Christ the Risen King? Because there is only one who died for you and rose again. And we create an idol and we name it Jesus. Did it die for me? No. Did it rise again? No. What does that leave me? Condemned to hell. That's what it leaves me. That's why we have to be so careful about this. Idols do not reveal themselves or redeem us. We make them. And we redeem them and make them like us so that we feel better about ourselves. The idol Jesus has made in the minds and hearts of people, and it exists, but that idol never walked the streets of Jerusalem. That idol was never up in Galilee. That idol never performed all the miracles that we read about. Certainly never died on the cross as a substitutionary death for us on Calvary. Therefore, it cannot save. Let me give you some examples of true faith and true Christianity. Jesus is the creator. We believe that? Well, if we believe Scripture, we do. Colossians 1, 15 to 17, he, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, firstborn or preeminent over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities, power, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. If you don't believe this identifying truth of who is Jesus and his aspect of creation, if you don't believe that, yet you have a Jesus that you believe, that would be an idol. And it can't save you. It can't save you. It can't redeem you. How about another one? That Jesus is God in the flesh. You believe that? Well, we better. Scripture tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And a verse I read earlier, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, ego in me. I am. That's what God said to Moses, I am that I am, tell them I am sent you. That is the name Yahweh. Jesus is claiming that identifying truth of who He is. If we have a Jesus that we don't believe is God in the flesh, the Jesus that we have is an idol. Can't save you. Can't save you. What about some of the application of His identity and authority? Jesus is the only way to heaven. We believe that for ourselves, but do we believe that when we're talking to an unbeliever? That's the question. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me, except through me. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name, there's only one way. But the world tells us, and the culture tells us, all roads lead to heaven. And when we're talking to somebody, we might even affirm that to them for whatever reason. If you believe that there is another way to heaven for a person than through Jesus Christ and Him alone, then what we're doing is we're making Jesus something that He is not. That's the making of an idol, a graven image of Him. Because basically what we're calling Him is a liar. Calling Jesus a liar, that He's incorrect in John 14:6, that He's rather confused. And if you make Jesus into something that He's not, then you have an idol that has the name Jesus, but that idol cannot save you. It gets very, very detailed here. His sacrifice is not sufficient. It needs to be repeated. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he would bring us to God. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly wait for Him. He will appear again a second time apart from sin for salvation. There's a lot of people who love Jesus that every single day they go to a service and Jesus is sacrificed. Every single day that the original sacrifice was not sufficient. It has to be done every single day. That Jesus would be an idol. It's a different one than what we read about in Scripture. How about that His blood doesn't cleanse from all sin? There are a lot of Christians who believe there are some sins that His blood does not cleanse. Powerless. I was told as a young boy that should I ever come into a Protestant church to worship, other than a wedding or a funeral, I would be condemned to hell and even God could not save me. Powerless to save. Some people think that there are sins that just absolutely cannot be forgiven, divorce being one in the church today. The unforgivable sin. But that's not what Scripture says. If we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? Here it is, all sin. Every single sin. There are many who believe in a salvation without the cross. Yeah, someone can be saved. Someone can go to heaven. We don't need to get the cross involved because that's really kind of icky and gory and judgmental. And so we just don't want to tell anybody about the cross. However, Scripture is contrary to that. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And later on in that same chapter, for the Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. There are many who in their conversation with an unbeliever would say that the cross is not necessary. We believe it for ourselves and we're so glad that Jesus died on the cross for us. But when we're talking to somebody who is not yet a believer, we kind of back away from that whole cross deal. And we don't think the cross is necessary for them. You see, that renders the cross of Jesus' sacrifice meaningless and senseless. A meaningless Jesus on the cross is not the real Jesus. It's a different Jesus. And that Jesus cannot save. and cannot redeem. This was a debate going on a number of years ago that, yeah, you can have Jesus as Savior, but reject Him as Lord. In other words, yeah, I can be thankful to Jesus that He died on the cross to save me, but He has no right to tell me what to do or how to live. I've had people say that to me. Yeah, you can accept Him as Savior and reject Him as Lord, but that's not what Jesus said, John 13:13, you call me teacher and Lord, for you say, well, for so I am. So I am what? What does it say? Teacher and Lord. You call me Lord, I am. I am. That's a question of His identity. Luke 14:6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Jesus is asking that question. You think that's a rhetorical question? Or was He expecting an answer? I've wrestled with that quite a bit. You see, a Jesus divided is an idol. It's not the real Jesus. He is Savior. He is Lord. We can't divide Him up and accept what pleases us and reject the part that doesn't please us. He is Lord. And if we don't do what He says, then He's not. He's not the Lord. We've got an obedience problem with His identity, is what we have. A divided Jesus would be an idol. Sometimes people believe that a sacrifice wasn't sufficient to pay the penalty in full, that we need to pay for our own sin somewhere. Some horrible place, we have to pay the penalty for our own sins. And of course, Jesus didn't say that. He's John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. What is necessary to provide salvation to men and women and boys and girls is finished. Nothing more has to be added. I don't have to pay the penalty for my own sins in some horrible place for 30,000 years before I can work my way back up to heaven. A Jesus who cannot save, who's insufficient, is an idol. Can't save you. I can't save you. The other side of this coin is His sacrifice isn't sufficient, so we must earn our salvation by good works. It is Jesus and the cross plus, and it's usually what people have judged as wrong that they don't do in their own life, but others do it, and they want to be judgmental over that. So if I need to work for my salvation, it's Jesus plus me doing this, that, or the next thing. Then I'm saying, what I'm saying is Jesus is not sufficient. It's not finished at the cross. I need to contribute to Jesus' insufficiency. Boy, talk about the wrong Jesus. That's the wrong Jesus. It's just an idol that leads to condemnation. Next one's real popular in our world today. Jesus won't send anybody to hell. I'll go to heaven, so I don't need to share the gospel. Everybody's going to heaven. Because, well, that just makes everything easier, doesn't it? We don't need to worry about how anyone lives. Everyone goes to heaven. Again, Jesus had some words about this in Matthew 25. Then He will say to those on His left, these are the goats, sheep and the goats, depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Jesus spoke more about hell than He did heaven. If you want to test me in this, open the Gospel of Matthew with a red pen and sit down and read it in one sitting. And with that red pen, circle everywhere Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, He talks about hell. You will be shocked. It's really quite extraordinary. A Jesus that doesn't understand the way to heaven, He doesn't understand salvation, He doesn't understand righteousness and justice, is an idol. Can't save you. A lot of people struggle with this one, that born-again deal. Why do you people talk about this born-again deal? And so we've kind of taken a step back. Well, maybe being born again really isn't necessary for salvation. We don't want to say that to people because, well, it makes them all squirrely and stuff. Of course, you know what Jesus says in John 3, 3 and 7. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." I don't know how much more clear it gets, but to say no, born again thing, no, that's not really right. Jesus is rather confused. He doesn't know the way to heaven and he doesn't understand spiritual things. If that's a Jesus that you have in rejecting this whole born again thing, that's an idol. That Jesus cannot save you. Can't save you. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 1:3, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The virgin conception and the resurrection are not true. I mean, those are stumbling blocks for a lot of people. Of course, we go back to Scripture. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and you will call His name Emmanuel. That's the virgin conception issue, resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, after that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. This belief denies the nature and power of the biblical Jesus. If He's not conceived by a virgin, then He's just a normal human being with indwelling sin that many of the Christian novels talk about. And if you believe that Jesus was just a regular guy with a sin nature, that's an idol. An idol named Jesus can't save you. But if you believe that, then the resurrection isn't necessary either, because His death on the cross is meaningless, because He wasn't sinless, because He was just a regular guy. So now the cross is meaningless as well. If the cross is meaningless, what point is the resurrection? No point at all. Now we've got a Jesus that is an idol, not the Jesus of the book. Finally, one more, that He will come again in judgment. As Jesus talks about this all throughout Matthew 24, about Him coming again, many Christians no longer believe in judgment anymore. And the reason is that we want to see a Jesus who's only a Jesus of grace and mercy and love, in spite of all that He said and all that He did, going to the cross for us. And we want to see only grace and mercy. All authority, all justice, and all judgment are cast away. That Jesus is an idol. Can't save you. So let me just dwell for a moment in conclusion of this. 2 John 1:9 is a passage that doesn't get a lot of attention. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. It is very critical for all of us who call ourselves Christians to accept completely the absolute authority of Scripture when it comes to what it says about Jesus and what Jesus said. That means if I'm reading the Bible and I disagree with the text, I'm wrong. And I'm wrong faster than I can say I'm wrong. I repent and confess, and I trust in the Lord. If we as a church come to a conclusion of something that is contrary to Scripture, we are wrong. We need to repent and confess and believe what the Word of God says. To do otherwise in all of these things is really to have a different Jesus. Just like all of those spiritual systems that I started the message with, though it's a different Jesus, an idol who cannot save. So I'll ask the question again. It's very important for us. In which Jesus do you trust? Your eternal salvation depends on it. Let me share with you this last scripture. I've been struggling with this one for 30 years. And it's the hardest verse in Scripture. And it's the most scary verse in Scripture. Does the Jesus of Scripture really know us? Does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know me? And you probably guessed this verse. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21-23, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Jesus, Jesus, we've done these things. He says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I've struggled with that passage to try to make sense of it for 30 years. And I've wrestled, and I've wrestled, and I've wrestled. And it's not a passage that we want to dwell on. It's one of those passages we know it's there, but we want to kind of just pretend it's not there and not deal with it. But this whole terror here, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what I want you to do is in your mind's eye, think of your day. You stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you're standing there and He's looking at you. You say, oh Lord Jesus, I've done all these things. I've done all these things for you. I'm so happy to be here. And He says, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. Eternally terrifying. And the only way I can make sense of this, because look at verse 22 there in the middle. Many, many will say to me. How many is many? I don't know how many many is. I think in our culture we would say, what, 20? 20 or 30 would be many? 50, 60? What is it for Him? What is it for Jesus? I don't know. I don't know. But the only way I can, in my mind and my soul, understand how people can spend their lives prophesying in the name of Jesus. Most of us don't do that. Casting out demons. You ever cast out a demon? Anyone? My score is 1. Still scared about it. Done many wonders in His name. I mean, these are the top shelf. We look at them and say, these are the super Christians. He didn't know them. How did He not know them? How is it that they were not in relationship with Him? They had a different Jesus. They thought they were doing it in Jesus' name, for Jesus, but it wasn't the Jesus of the book. They had conjured up an idol. They'd given it the name Jesus, and they're serving Him, thinking they're serving the real Jesus. And it isn't until Judgment Day they find out, uh-oh, I had the wrong Jesus. And that's an eternal, eternal mistake. Search your heart. Each one, what Jesus do you believe in? There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them in the hearts of Christians. Which one do you believe in? You got to believe in the real one, the one in the book. He is who He is, and He said what He said, and I believe whatever He says, even if I don't like it, even if I disagree with it, and I'm going to do my best to obey and follow every word that He says, because if I say, I will not do that. Oh, but I love my Jesus. You might have an idol. You named it Jesus, and you do not want to learn that on Judgment Day, on your day. Learn it here today. Meditate and dwell, search your heart. You got the real Jesus? There's only one. Or do you have an idol named Jesus? Makes you look good. Makes you feel good. But on Judgment Day, the real Jesus doesn't know who you are. You don't want to hear those words. Let's pray, shall we? Father, reminded today that how much You love us, and yet it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. and for all of these that Jesus is talking about, they lived their life believing in a Jesus. But it wasn't the one of Scripture. It wasn't the real Jesus. It was an idol, a God they made to suit themselves. And they gave it the name Jesus so they could feel better and part of the group and be accepted by others, and spent their life following this one. All the while believing within their heart, I believe in Jesus and He's bringing me to heaven. And so Lord, as Your Word often does, it brings warning to us. We wish it were not so. We wish we could just go along and just do our best and it'll all work out in the end. But we do thank You that Jesus put this warning that shakes our foundations to the core. What Jesus do I really follow? Am I really believing in the Jesus of Scripture? Do I believe in His identity? Do I believe in His authority? Is He truly Lord of my life? Will I do whatever I can to obey His Word, no matter what? Or do I have to pray about it? Oh, Jesus, do I really have to? Yeah, you're not really going to make me do this, are you? I'm not. It's too hard. It's too uncomfortable. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. Or is it, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Right away. Father, we pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would work in all of our hearts, in our conscience, in our soul, that we would ask ourselves that question. Will Jesus know me on my day? And ask ourselves, what Jesus do I believe in? In what Jesus do I believe and follow and trust? Is it the real one? Or is it an idol I've made to suit myself? For the sake of Your church, Father, please work in all of us, we pray. Amen.